Welcome to the Living Word with Chuck Davis.
Seven bowls, Revelation 16, 1-21. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple telling the seven angels, "Go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God." So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and harmful and painful sores came upon the people who bore the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse, and every living thing died that was in the sea. The third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel in charge of the waters say, "Just are you, O Holy One, who is and was and who is to come, for you brought these judgments. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. It is what they deserve." And I heard the altar saying, "Yes, Lord God the Almighty, true and just are your judgments." The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and it was allowed to scorch people with fire. They were scorched by the fierce heat, and they cursed the name of God who had power over these plagues. They did not repent and give him glory. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in anguish and cursed the God of heaven for their pain and sores. They did not repent of their deeds. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are demonic spirits performing signs, who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God the Almighty. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. And they assembled them at the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, a great earthquake such as there had never been since man was on the earth. So great was the earthquake. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and God remembered Babylon the Great to make her drain the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. And every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found. And great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on people, and they cursed God for the plague of the hail, because the plague was so severe. We get into some very graphic judgment language. We were already told that the wrath of God had been done, and now they're being poured out. So how do we read this? I've come to the conclusion that the seven seals and the seven trumpets and the seven bowls are what we would refer to as a literary technique called recapitulation. They're all referring to similar realities, similar movements through every epoch of history. I don't see them as being sequential through the different ages of history. I can see elements of each one, but they're showing it from different angles. Johnson writes in his commentary, "I agree with those who argue that in the seven seals, we are seeing things from the perspective of the suffering church. In the seven trumpets, we are seeing things from the perspective of the world as it is being called to repentance. In the seven bowls, we are seeing things from the perspective of the temple, from the throne of God." You see, all this is in the language. You hear these refrains come in. True and just are the judgments of God. The reminder, "Behold, I'm coming like a thief." Basically, stay awake. This is the echo of chapter 1, the time is near. And the conclusion of chapter 2, it must soon take place. Three times in chapter 22, the Lamb says, "I am coming soon." Even the Spirit and the Bride give witness and declare, "Come, Lord Jesus, come now." Remember, this is written to a church that is suffering severely. And the Lord wants them to see that this is not just something that's random, they're still called to resist, that he's still engaged, that there's different angles of seeing all these things that are taking place. The word Armageddon is thrown here. It's often referred to as the last great battle. It was the valley where many wars had gone on. in the Hebrew existence in the past. What I find more interesting than trying to identify that and put that in a place and become crazy about it is how many references you read in the pouring out of these bowls back to the Old Testament. How many are linked to the Egyptian redemption? Remember, all of those by God was God setting up Pharaoh to cooperate with his plan that his people would be liberated. And I see in the images of these different visions that are given forward, that God in his patience is waiting for people to repent. I read them through the words of 2 Peter, where Peter says, God is not slow as some consider slowness, but patient towards all, not desiring that any would perish, but all would come to repentance. I'm going to borrow my so what's from Johnson's commentary. Yes, judgment is terrible. There's no doubt about it. Doesn't make me feel comfortable. I'm not glad about it. I am glad there is a God of justice who deals with the brokenness of this world. Secondly, judgment is justified. Repeatedly, we hear in this declaration that God is not unjust in what he is doing. He is true and just in his judgments. Thirdly, though, judgment only comes after a time for repentance. It's God waiting for us. My now what, then, is to repent of anything that does not square with Jesus. Anything that would cooperate with the false trinity of dragon, sea beast, and land beast. Anything that would block the glory of God and his kingdom being released in his world. I want to repent, to turn from that, and find my true liberation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, today is your day. You've given us this day to steward. All your ways are just and right. We trust you. We pray, Lord, that you will give us the courage to make the decisions to turn from darkness and to embrace the light. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.